if we just keep holding in the stress and waiting until, quote unquote, it gets bad enough, it's already too late.
Welcome to the Mind Your Body Show, where you'll learn how to get your mind right so that your body will follow. I'm Trudy Stone, certified culinary nutritionist, TV guest expert, and author. After self-hacking my mind and body to lose 30 pounds, I now help busy, overwhelmed women use stress as their superpower so that they can rise above it and become more calm, resilient, and physically fit. Each week, not only will you learn nutrition and stress management habits, you'll also learn about the power of food to enhance your mental and physical well-being and how to overcome your battles with living a healthier lifestyle. The secrets to eating healthier, improving your mood, and increasing your energy are not only about what you put in your stomach, it's also about what's going on in your brain. So congratulations on showing up. I promise to support you on your health journey with every single episode. Let's begin. Feeling a bit overwhelmed lately? Joining us today is a special guest, Irena Sargent. Irena is a speaker, mental wellness champion, and burnout relief specialist. As founder and chief anti-burnout champion at Hookie Wellness, love that name, she merged employee-centric design and mental wellness modalities to develop their burnout relief program, Navigating Burnout. She's empowered thousands of professionals across clients, including Google, Deloitte, Microsoft, LinkedIn, Moët Hennessy, and Indiana University. Irena is a sought-after burnout expert with guest appearances and features across publications, including NPR Life Kit, Thrive Global, Architectural Digest, and more. Welcome to the Mind Your Body Show, Irena. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I am well and excited for our conversation today.
Yeah, me too. So Irena, I have to tell you, I don't even know if I've told you this before, where I found you, but I found you through, I guess, a common virtual mentor, Ashley Kirkwood.
Oh boy.
The Speak Your Way to Cash community. So yes. A couple of years ago, I joined her boot camp and you were one of her featured students. And I was like, oh my God, like I love what she is doing. Like I love seeing a woman of color talking about burnout, mental health, and all the things. And I felt like we were so closely aligned. And I was like, okay, I'm keeping her in my back pocket because I'm definitely getting her on the podcast. And here we are. And I'm so happy to have you.
I am even happier to hear that. Yes, I remember that program. That was a great one. It was one that gave me a lot more confidence and clarity when it came to starting to become a public speaker.
Oh, yeah.
I am glad to share the love on a platform like that.
Awesome. So Irena, I know I just shared that, you know, beautiful introduction of yours, but if this is someone's first introduction to you, can you just give us a bit of a background of who you serve and what it is that you do?
Yes, I help hardworking professionals with a specialized focus on mid-career professionals. I help them recognize their personal warning signs for burnout and feel equipped and armed to create their personal relief strategies. This is not at all what I originally thought I'd do in my career. I am a classically trained marketer and innovation lead. So I've worked in workspace design, consumer packaged goods, and the tech industry. And then about 6-7 years ago, I was blindsided by burnout. And it was the first time in life where working harder was no longer working. And I have to say, being from Detroit, that math wasn't mathing. So in a initial journey to help myself feel better and understand what was going on, transition into entrepreneurship, because even before the pandemic, 77% of professionals were feeling burned out. And so when I started to understand that and realize how rampant it was, I was like, oh, you know, I'll just go work on this big hairy problem. And so it's been a privilege to really be growing in my work and being able to support professionals across some of the orgs that you mentioned, as well as across my peer community and network. There's a lot of work to do. Burnout is not an easy thing, but it's also something that once we know and understand it, we can actually protect ourselves from it and manage our situation so we find more everyday relief, because we got to find some relief.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's funny, like when you mentioned that, like, this is not what you set out to do. It's funny how our careers often choose us rather than the other way around, because, you know, similar to me, like I never thought I would be a nutritionist. I actually used to own a cupcake company and I was a baker. And then now my nutritionist is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. So I totally get that.
That's a journey right there. I love it.
Yeah, tell me about it, right? So, Irina, can you share your story of hitting and overcoming burnout? I think that you said that your therapist put you on a timeout. So tell us more about that.
Yes, more than one therapist and more than once. So as I shared, like, I worked a lot. I had a great professional career, and I grew up, academics was a thing. Like, education, academics, work harder. If you have to figure it out, work even harder. So that was like ingrained, and that was the playbook that I had. And so when I experienced burnout 6-7 years ago, that was the first time where I was like, okay, I have no idea what to do with this, but I know it's not working. And how that manifested in me is, like, I was sitting at the island, at our kitchen island, in front of my laptop, super late at night, and I just started crying. And I was just like, I cannot do this anymore. I had started to recognize over the previous weeks and couple of months, actually, that my body was always aching. I was noticing that I felt anxious all the time. I was noticing an increase in my pace of speech, if you could believe it. Like, I sounded like six off of Blossom, and now I'm aging myself, but
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's not an everyday pace. I was noticing that my work was just, it was just getting harder for me to get through it. And I had no idea what was going on. And all I knew was that therapy might be something that could help. And so that is how I got introduced into therapy, and what actually prompted me to go find my own therapist. And that had been a godsend. I've had to change multiple times as I move, but therapy was really integral to helping me start to understand and unpack and change some really ingrained behaviors that were just learned, because it's what you do. And it truly did take my therapist to put me on timeout for me to have one of those big shifts. Like, I had taken short-term disability leave because deep in the bouts of burnout, a lot of life-lifing, my father was dealing with cancer at that point, so it was a lot. And I took leave, and in that first week, my therapist was like, how's it going? And I joke, I tell her the truth. Then I put down my daytime laptop and picked up my hooky laptop. And so thankfully, my therapist was very nice and said, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're here for. And forced me to take a timeout. Forced me to play hooky, because I was taking leave so that I can start to recover and heal and process everything that was going on, but I was still so conditioned to fill it with work. And so that has been something that I have been unlearning, unpacking, and changing my behaviors. And truly why I named the company Hooky Wellness, like, it's an everyday reminder for me of the intention and what I really want to empower professionals to do and feel confident in. Like, we talk so much about how much we work, but we should also be proud of the times we prioritize ourselves and the times we put it down and step away, because that's where the magic happens. That's where our creativity is found. So that's a little bit about how I got here and why I do what I do.
Yeah, I love that you shared that, Irina, because I think therapy, it's getting better. People are looking at it, you know, in a different way, but you know, therapy, especially when it comes to, like, Black people, and both of us are Black women, if you're hearing this and not watching us, both of us are Black women, women of color. And, you know, traditionally, a lot of people of color see, you know, therapy or going to therapy as a weakness. It's a taboo subject. It's not something that we do. Like, if you go to therapy, it's like, oh, you're crazy or you're weak, you know? So I really want to acknowledge you for that and for going through therapy, going through the steps, you know, and actually applying what your therapist was telling you. Because sometimes people will go to therapy, but they won't actually apply, you know, the advice or the information that they're given. So I really want to acknowledge you for that. And, you know, I can resonate with that, because going through my own episode of burnout, and that's why I hit burnout back in 2021, going through that episode of burnout, I realized that I was working 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Trudy, you can't work 7 days a week. Like, and I thought back to the days when I used to work in the corporate world, and I was like, well, Trudy, you worked 5 days a week and you had 2 days off. You had a weekend, you know, every single week. So mm-hmm. How can we implement that into your life now? So now I'm very intentional about taking care of myself. And yes, sometimes I have to force myself to just sit on the couch, have the cup of tea and read. But I know that I'm so much better for it. I know that people around me are so much better for it. Like, when I take that time to really, you know, fill my cup up, I know that's, you know, that saying is probably overused now. But, you know, when I really do take that time to fill my cup up, I know that my marriage benefits. I know that my friendships benefits. I'm a better daughter. I'm just a better overall person when I take that time out for myself. And actually, that's when I get my best ideas, when I'm just sitting there in the nothingness. And I think so many people sometimes are afraid to sit in that nothingness.
and just to sit in silence. Because sometimes people are afraid of what might come up, right?
Yes, yes. We saw a lot of that during the pandemic, the shutdown of the pandemic. But the nothingness is, as I was saying, like where a lot of the magic can happen, but it's also extremely uncomfortable if you're used to just moving. So when I started to get deep in my practice and wellness and like understand it and embrace it, because I was pretty apprehensive at first because it's not what we do, as you were saying.
Right.
I grew up in a household where my mother was quite religious. So you know what could come with all of that. We talked about work. We didn't talk about wellness. And when you really look at the dynamics, there's a lot of people talking about it, especially with Black culture. It was something we weren't empowered to have, or well, we didn't have that privilege. So it is a new behavior. We are deconditioning and unlearning some very negative things in culture, but it's really about embracing what's new and what's different because it has impact. Like there is data, there's evidence on the impact of wellness modalities on stress, anxiety, depression, of course, burnout. Like it is proven. And so it became a matter of embracing it and recognizing that it could be for me and like tiptoeing in because it wasn't something I was always like so bold in sharing. But I realized as I started to talk about it, people were intrigued and were trying to figure it out themselves, but didn't know who to talk to because no one talked about it. And so I am liking where we're going, where more people are forthcoming. I call it part of your burnout battle team. Like there's a whole roster of multidisciplinary support that you should have at all points in life. We talk about it professionally, like have your board of directors. You've probably heard that. But from a burnout standpoint, you also need a support squad or your burnout battle team.
I love that. That's actually one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. So since we're on that question, tell me more about the burnout battle team.
Yes. Do you use profanity on your...
Yes. Yes, girl. Okay.
So the burnout battle team is your support network that helps you get or keep your shit together. Because especially when you are deep in the woes of burnout, it can be very cloudy and hard to recognize when you're not acting like yourself and where you need to find some more relief. And so this team of individuals ranging from career specialists to your therapist, your wellness guide, financial health, as well as some people in your personal network, are there to give you different perspectives, to offer accountability, and can also be a point of support as you go through the burnout relief journey. You don't necessarily need everyone at the same time in the same capacity, but it's really about being proactive about identifying these individuals, having a relationship so that you can tap them in as your situation changes and you can find your way of creating more relief in the everyday. That is something I'm big about, is how do we get more relief? How do we get more relief? Because if we just keep holding in the stress and waiting until quote unquote it gets bad enough, it's already too late. And that's how we get into this place of collective burnout, which we are now in, because we'll worry about it later when things either get too bad enough or when things calm down. You're like, what happened?
Right. No, I love this idea of a burnout battle team for so many reasons, but I really like it because I think oftentimes, especially as women, when we're going through stressful times or challenges in our life, and I'm speaking from experience here because I do this and I still struggle with this. You know, when we're going through things, we hold it in. Mm-hmm. We don't want to tell anybody. We don't want to burden anybody in our lives, but it is so important to have those people that you can rely on. It is important to have that burnout battle team to help you to navigate some of the emotions that you are experiencing, that you are having. You know, and maybe if you're like me, I can tell you like what I do. Like if I'm going through a challenging time in my life, I'll spend some time maybe just kind of going through like the thoughts and the emotions I'm feeling first, like within my head. I won't stay there too long, but I'll take some time to actually feel it and try to understand it. And then I'll kind of pull people in because I'm the type of person where, and maybe this is my fault, I'm the type of person where I don't really like want to always share what it is that I'm going through because I don't want to burden other people. And also, I don't want other people to be able to, what's the word that I'm looking for? Just, I guess, influence my thoughts and my feelings and my reactions about things. So I like to kind of think about like how this affects me first, how I feel about this first. And then I'll bring in my loved ones and say, you know what, like I'm dealing with this situation. Like, what do you think? Or, you know, do you have any guidance or any advice for me? So, you know, if you're someone who likes to hold it all in like me, maybe that's what you do. Spend a little bit of time processing on your own and then you bring in your burnout battle team. Do you think that's a good idea? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that is a great strategy. I use that a little bit. It depends on what what the problem is. I like to be focused, especially when I ask people for their time. And so it's that fine line of not trying to overthink it and figure it out yourself, but also ensuring that when you are employing other support, that you're able to bring focus on what you really need. So that is what comes to mind. And then there's this concept of, I forgot where I heard it, of incubating ideas. And so when you have a new idea or a thought, sometimes you don't want to put it out there because it is so fragile and it's new. And so you want to incubate it before exposing it to the world, because so quickly it can shrivel up based on what you hear from others. So if you find yourself being one that is more forthcoming and giving people the nugget before it starts to grow, but you also recognize that their feedback can shut you down from pursuing it, you might want to incubate. So as you said, step away, you think through it a little bit more before you share it with the world.
Yeah, I love that. Incubating. Okay, I'm going to use that. Now I have a term. Now I have a label for it.
Yeah, greenhousing.
Greenhousing. Okay.
Yes. If we Google it, I'm sure we'll find the book. I read a lot. But greenhousing is the phase. That's why I keep putting my hands like this. I'm like, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about holding things in. We talked about building your burnout battle team. So what do you think are the main obstacles that you see that people have when it comes to managing stress and burnout?
Well, one of the bigger challenges that I see is that we as a world continue to act as though things happen in isolation, with that being burnout or stress, where it's, oh, I'll deal with that when things calm down, or I'll deal with it later, and we put it off, not realizing that you can't compartmentalize things. And just because you're dealing with burnout, just because you're dealing with stress, the rest of this doesn't stop. And because it doesn't stop, it influences and they feed off of each other. So it's this cycle of trying to compartmentalize and separate things that can create additional stress and pressure and like amplify the system. I think it is one of those things that is one of the drivers of why we put it off until later, because we want to get this handled. There's too much stuff to do. I'll deal with it later. Like, people view burnout and elevated stress as something that they'll deal with later, not realizing the implications of it. So that space and the intermixing of life and how it is not separate is one of the bigger challenges. And along the same lines, is I've found it to be a challenge of recognizing when your stress is no longer your normal level of stress. Mm-hmm. So when I found both of myself and a lot of my clients that are women, especially Black women, we're used to a lot. We're used to it. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one more thing and one more thing and one more thing. And we don't realize where all of a sudden that scale is completely off. And it was one more thing. Yes, you do handle a lot. You do deal with a lot of stress and pressure, but this is not normal anymore, or your normal stress. So yes, you can deal with a lot. One, you shouldn't have to. And two, this is more than that. And so I've found that, especially over the past few years, as everything has shifted, there's a mindset that we're still dealing with normal level of stress, but we're not. It's all elevated. And so recognizing that and internalizing that, I found, gives people the power to do something different instead of saying, well, I'm supposed to be able to handle it. I always have been able to handle it. Not this. So those are two big areas that come to mind.
I love that. Okay. So I want to talk about signs and like symptoms of burnout arena. So you shared your story when you were at your laptop and then you just started crying. So like, what are, you know, some symptoms of burnout, and how can we recognize it before we reach our breaking point?
Yeah, the crying in front of your laptop is a very common story, but we want to avoid that one. The first sign you pay attention to. Well, some of the biggest warning signs in earlier stages is exhaustion. And that's the one that we hear most often. And it is very, very true. It's not just I'm tired, though. This is complete, utter body chronic exhaustion that just gets worse and worse. You wake up unrested, you take naps, but they don't matter. That type of stuff, it doesn't stop. And so it's, the exhaustion is one of the first warning flags of it. And it's a warning sign for burnout, as well as a number of other things. So if you're not feeling rested, if you're not getting sleep, there's a reason that sleep is foundational to your well-being. And so if that is happening, that is absolutely where you can start to focus in and get better rest. Another big thing that is important to get ahead of is working more, but producing less. So burnout, it's this wonderfully, wonderfully fun thing where it affects your professional efficacy and performance. And so you're working hard, you're working more, but you're still not turning out what you expect. And so that is a slippery slope because most often people just pick up the hours, work over the weekend, work on in the evenings. That's what we're seeing from the stats of, especially as you started to work from home, it's so easy to do that scope creep. But that is one of the big things that happens with burnout is you end up working more because you're now in catch-up mode. So that is one to pay special attention to, especially knowledge workers, because it's coming out of your brain. And then that clouds your cognitive ability and increases this cycle that's never ending. So if you find that you're hitting a point where you're working more but producing less, that's exactly when you need to take a break. I know that is contradictive, but you need to let your brain breathe. You have to step away. You will not get it done, or at least you won't get it done efficiently, and it won't be in your best well-being. So those are two big ones. And then health implications. So there's a lot of challenges out there that I could tackle. And burnout, why I was like, no, this is where I want to really focus, is because it is a precursor to a lot of other stuff or warning signs. And so your physical health can be affected by burnout. And so burnout is all encompassing: mental, physical, emotional. And so paying attention to your physical health. So are you finding more aches and pains that didn't exist anywhere, everywhere, unexplained aches and pains? Are you finding that you're having GI issues, blood pressure is going up, cholesterol is going up? Like the data has shown how burnout can lead its way into like larger physical ailments. And so paying attention to how your body is feeling, because your body stores stress, that's another big warning sign to pay attention to. And it's something that you can get support and things you can do about it. Like physical health is something you can tackle. It feels more tangible sometimes. So if you're seeing that as a warning sign, that's absolutely something to get ahead of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you shared all of that. I think for me, my warning signs were definitely aches and pains, and I just couldn't concentrate on anything I was looking at on the computer. I had to keep rereading the same line over and over and over again for me to actually grasp what it was that I was reading. And that was my sign where I knew something was wrong. I was like, no, girl, you should not be reading that same sentence like 10 times to actually understand what you're reading. So that was my big, big sign for sure.
Yes.
I guess the cognitive clouding of, yeah, like you called it, right?
Cognitive impairment. Yeah. Your brain gets cloudy. It's like, I had the same thing. I would reread the same line, have to go back and be like, wait a minute, what did that say? I just saw it. And so there was a point where I was like, am I going crazy? Or like, am I getting stupid? And that cognitive impairment was just that high. And then the thing that I didn't realize, and for those who have similar things, pay special attention. I didn't realize at that point that I had ADHD. And so ADHD and burnout are best friends that you never want it. And so it creates a cycle within each other, as well as anxiety and other things. So that was something, is that ADHD could trigger it is a constant battle for me because it can trigger my burnouts. Why I'm very happy I do the work I do is that I have the understanding and ability to recognize my warning signs and know what I can do about it. So now burnout isn't my challenge. ADHD is my challenge. And now I can focus on something that has really significant impact without burnout having to get in the way. And that's why I'm big on like, let's do something about burnout, because we got a lot of other life happening. We have things that are hard. And so burnout makes hard things harder. So let's try to eliminate this. And then you can focus on the stuff that really will move the needle.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So Irene, I want to talk about taking breaks. So how do we combat that idea of taking breaks and doing nothing when we're recovering from burnout?
Yes. I think one of the first things we have to do is stop thinking of it as doing nothing, because resting is actually what we need to do. And also understanding that within rest, it doesn't just mean binging or lounging on the couch. Like, there's so much more in this world. I anchor a lot of my, or all of my stuff, in the pillars of mental wellness. So everything ranging from journaling and therapy to playing games to being in the community and in nature. Those are different ways of getting more rest and reprieve in your life. And it depends on what you're dealing with, which ones you might want to tone up or tone down. But resting is not doing nothing. It is actually finding relief. It is recovering. It is finding reprieve. And it is shown that taking steps away from work has such a significant impact on symptoms of stress, burnout, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, like everything can be affected. And so one, when it comes to taking breaks, one, we're not taking them. So that's one of the challenges. Yeah. I always throw out the stat, 2018, 768 million unused vacation days in the US. Insane. Wow. Then in 2020, we were sitting on PTO bombs because people weren't taking their PTO because it was locked down and they're like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even not work just because we couldn't travel. And then we're dealing with now people starting to take more breaks, but not using it efficiently. Like over 50% of professionals in this Glassdoor reported they couldn't unplug on their day off. Mm. So we're still taking that stress. And so we're returning back to the office in the same state that we left in, not being able to find that relief and recovery in the time off because we're not able to disengage. And so one, doing nothing. Resting is not doing nothing, but then also in that time, there are things that you can do. So it's sort of like, I find it tricking your brain into doing nothing. When you're doing something that is more fun, you are resting, you are relaxing, you are connecting, but you're still active. So sometimes that's what people have to do to start taking more breaks is to do active breaks before they can just lay down completely somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think my form of active breaks is like a combination of like yoga and meditation. So I follow this amazing yogi on YouTube and she has like these 50-50 yoga and meditation. So for the first half of the class, it's yoga. And then the second half of the class, she's just like, you know, goes through like a guided meditation with you. And I just love that because I feel like with yoga, like you focus on your breathing. And then also with the meditation, you're focusing on that breathing. You're focusing on, you know, restoring your mind as well. So I really love that. I like the active kind of, you know, break situation. And then after that, I'll just sit on the couch and like maybe have, you know, read a book and, you know, have a cup of tea. But I read like a fiction book. I'm not going to read like, because I read a lot of research books and a lot of personal development books because sometimes that gets the gears turning too much. So I'll just sit there and read a fiction book.
Yes, I'm same boat. Like when my first therapist put me on timeout, she was like, no emails, no white papers, no business book. I was like, oh, so what do I do? But I got back into like food magazines, which I used to love, like, and just general magazines and a lot of fiction, the things that I'll get to one day. It's like, oh, wait, these are the things that help fulfill me that I kept putting to the wayside. So take that break. Think of that as an assignment. Think of that as your objective for the time.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So, Irina, let's talk about taking a hooky day, because you talk about this idea of taking a hooky day. This is what hooky wellness is all about. So can you explain the idea of the hooky day?
Yes. Hooky day is a mental health day in disguise. It just sounds better. But culturally, I grew up in a point where Ferris Bueller had the concept of hooky day. It is what we are all grounded in, and I have a bone to pick with him. But ultimately, for me, hooky day is all about prioritizing your well-being and using your time to do what you need to do versus what the world might be telling you should do. The thing about hooky days that is very important to me is that they're not to be used irresponsibly. It's not about just truly not showing up and flaking off on your responsibility, but it is following through on your responsibility to yourself. So we don't want you to lose jobs, but we do want you to prioritize your time. So there is time you can take off. And there's just something, you know, bold and empowering about saying I'm playing hooky, which you don't have to tell people what you're doing. It is for you. It is what your body needs. So for me, that goes like when I was on leave and therapist put me on timeout, that started with me having weekly lunch with my girlfriends who were all three of us were going through life-changing times. And we just got together and would like cook lunch and talk about life. Going to the museum on a day where it's actually free because it's like randomly free from what, 10 to 3 in the middle of a Tuesday, doing a weekday brunch and sometimes just like binging out on the couch and like watching TV or sitting in silence in my own house. there is a million and one ways to play hooky, but it's doing whatever your body and your mind needs to find more relief. Mm-hmm. I actually just made a little tool for my site. It's like 75 different things you can do, because so often people get overwhelmed and they're like, oh my God, what do I do at this time? It's like, here you go, pick one of these.
Oh, I like that. I'll have to link that up in the show notes. So, Irina, you talked on social media about low power mode and five signs that you may be on your way to low battery mode. Can you share what low battery mode is and what we need to look out for?
Yes. So I am big on metaphors. My metaphors, for the most part, are all hinging on the burnout relief journey or the stages of burnout. And so the idea of low power mode is exactly that. When we think about low power mode or low battery mode with our phones, we get it instantly. It's like, oh, it's doing too much. The battery is fading. And if I want to be able to use it to perform, if I need it to perform, I need to plug it back up and charge it. It's that same concept with self, but we are not created with not like automatic warning systems at all. So low power mode or low battery mode is a point where you are deep into the burnout cycle. And having things like what we're saying with the cognitive fog, the muscle aches, you're feeling more cynical about life. There's a number of different emotional and mental and physical factors. I have them in my quiz, which is what it's attached to, but it'll help you evaluate different parts of your life to understand if your bandwidth is low, ultimately, if your battery is low. And that is an indicator that you need to do things differently. So if you're finding If any of the symptoms and signs we've talked about are starting to hit home, and or if you do the quiz and see where you fall, ultimately, when you're finding yourself in deepened states of burnout, one of the things you need to do is, one, do less. So that can start with, and I often start with the workplace, but that starts with assessing what are your true priorities and being real about them and figure out what they are, because you don't have time for extra. If you are in low battery mode, you do not have time for extra. And that same note, you have work to do, and we want you to be able to show up. So it requires you to focus on the right things. So identifying what are those priorities, where is your energy, the limited energy you have, going to go? And then on the other side of it, how are you going to add more energy? So that's what are those relief valves you're going to use? How are you going to use the tools of mental wellness to create more mental and emotional and physical capacity? We talk so much about burnout recovery. But I feel like we do a disservice by not talking about how we need everyday relief to create the bandwidth we need to change.
Mm.
That's one of the things I'm like, as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, oh, that's one of the things that we need to really recognize with burnout is we wait so late in the game to do anything about it. And then we realize how much needs to change and we don't have the capacity to actually change. Because we're so burnt out. And so it's important that you're doing these self-care things, these mental wellness things, you're getting help from a therapist, you're getting help in these other facets of life. It creates the capacity you need to change your behavior so you can avoid this and reverse the cycle. So yeah, that was a little soapbox epiphany moment. So thank you for getting me there.
No, that was great. That was great. So you touched on, you know, the capacity to change and, you know, burnout relief valves. Would you say that setting boundaries is a burnout relief valve?
Absolutely. Boundaries is something that I did not really understand until the past few years. It wasn't really part of the common vernacular in this sense, but boundaries are absolutely a necessity when it comes to creating the change and really getting ahead of burnout and taking a command of it in your life. Boundaries doesn't mean that you're being selfish or you're slighting others. Boundaries is really just being honest and real about your bandwidth, your capacity, what you have to give to others, what you have to give to yourself. And they fluctuate over time. Your boundaries or your needs for this month might be different than next month, or this quarter might be different than the next quarter. And you have the ability to change it because they're yours. And so it becomes important to understand your priorities and that your boundaries are the things that the systems you can employ to help you get there and to ensure things don't get in the way. So whether that be boundaries regarding how many hours you work or how many extra favors you do in a month or how many additional responsibilities or volunteer opportunities that you take on, because there's never a lack thereof. Boundaries could be mapping out specific times in your week or in your month that are just for you. It could be how many meals you're going to cook or the household responsibilities. You can create boundaries anywhere in your life, but they're absolutely a necessity if you want to start taking control of your well-being and getting ahead of burnout. Mm-hmm. It's a learning journey. There's a lot of people, I'm a big fan of Nedra, the author and psychologist, who talks a lot about boundaries. And so lots of learning. There's a lot of really good thought leaders in this space online that have really been helping me as I understand it, because I realize its importance.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things that's helped me, Reyna, with setting boundaries is just looking at my calendar and setting up my calendar in the right way. So if I know I'm working on a certain project and I need to devote a certain amount of time to it, I'll actually block out those days and those times in my calendar so that when other meetings come in or other requests come in, it's like, you know what? Nope, I blocked out 10 to 3 to do my writing, to write articles, you know, for this publication. So I can't let any meetings in there. So I think, you know, maybe even doing a time audit, seeing how you're spending your time, and then also just blocking off certain times on your calendar. I think, you know, having that visual representation on your calendar will help you to kind of stick to those boundaries as well. Because I can't say it's going to work 100%, but I can tell you that it's at least worked for me.
Yeah, I'm big on calendar management. If it's on my calendar, it could actually happen.
Yeah.
Sorry for you, but absolutely, like, time blocking is huge. Really good productivity tip and time management tip. And just taking it back to what we were saying, like, put your hooky day on your calendar. That is what I really advise clients, and I'm getting better at myself, of like, just plan it out. Put a day on your calendar, a month or two in advance, that is just for you. It's a pleasant surprise when you get there, but it avoids it being an afterthought of, oh, I meant to, I was supposed to, I didn't get to take a break. Put it on there. It's part of the plan. You will do it when it's part of the plan and you can plan around it. So yeah, calendar management, clutch. It's a pro tip.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I always block out my true to you days on my calendar. That's exactly what it's called. True, because my name's Trudy, right? So then, you know, true to you. So I block out times on my calendar as true to you. And I'm like, okay, that is my time to just go inward, to just, you know, sit in silence, allow God to speak to me. So it's so important to block off that time on your calendar. Otherwise, people will just continue to take from you.
Yeah. You take from yourself too. So often we just keep going because there's nothing else that apparently we're supposed to do, right? Like, if your calendar's empty, it means you could do what you want. So often doing what you want ends up work. Mm-hmm. I've been learning in entrepreneurship. Like, it's burnout and entrepreneurship is a whole nother conversation. It's like, corporate on fire. Like,
yeah, for sure. So Reyna, you have a book coming out soon. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes. So I have a book that is actually coming out on the 14th for Valentine's Day. It is called Go Love Yourself. It's an adult storybook about the burnout relief journey. And so I, as we talk about, like, getting back into things we love, I used to write a lot. I used to write poetry when I was younger, and it just gotten away from it, but picked it up as part of my journey. And so I wrote a poem and have been working with an illustrator here in Charlotte, and we are bringing it to life. So it is an illustrated adult storybook all about burnout and burnout relief. And at the back of the book, there's a QR code that can take you to get some additional resources and education on the space.
Ooh, I love that. What a creative idea. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Reyna, I'm going to make sure that I link up that link to your book in the show notes. So I have to get that link from you, because that book sounds phenomenal and I want a copy, and maybe some copies for some friends too.
Your head is at you.
So Reyna, I have a question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, what is your favorite way to take care of your mind and your body?
My mind and my body. My favorite way to take care of my mind is active meditation, and my method is flying a kite. So yes, I want to fly a kite. I always am looking out for wind, like, is it a nice day? And then to take care of my body, massages are my happy place. I would do it every day if I could afford it.
I love that. Yeah, you and me both, girl.
I do stretches on the normal Peloton stretches. Yeah. Hannah Corbett is my stretch instructor on Peloton. So I love that in.
Okay. I like that. No one ever talks about, you're the first person on the show that has said stretching.
Oh
yeah. I love that.
Well,
and flying a kite. No one's ever said flying a kite. These are great answers.
75 things to do. Yes.
I like that. Where does one buy a kite? Is this like Amazon? Where do you get this kite from?
You can buy kites on Amazon. You could buy them at your regular store, like, well, in the season, Target, Walmart. People have kites. It's in the toy in the toy, outdoor toy, like by the bikes and stuff, where we don't go as adults probably. Yeah. But yeah, so I got in a flying kite during the pandemic. So I needed to meditate, but my brain wouldn't stop, even with the apps. And so I learned about active meditation and picked up a kite and realized that I used to fly kites as a kid with my dad. So I got into flying kites and we used to have our whole crew out there, just like 10 of us flying kites in KC. So yeah, it's fun. It's just fun. And you have to focus on it.
Yeah. And it's such a like a fun way to get in some movement too. Okay. Yes. I'm going to do some kite flying when the weather gets a little bit warmer here in Toronto. I'll do some kite flying.
Yay. Made my day. You have no idea.
So Raina, if people want to connect with you and learn more about you, where can they find you?
Yes, I am on Instagram. I am the Chill Sergeant. No, the. I also have my website, irainasargent.com. And if you want to learn about workplace support for organizations and team, Hooky Wellness, H-O-O-K-Y, wellness.com will tell you all about it. So I do workshops, speaking engagements, and specialized tailored programs for professionals that want to get better at taking breaks. So I am excited to learn more about you, your team, and to, you know, do something about this world that we are living in.
Awesome. I'll make sure I link to all of that in the show notes for you guys so you guys can check that out. Irina, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Like, you dropped so many gems. I feel like my podcast team's going to have a really hard time pulling clips for this episode. It's phenomenal. You just shared so many great tips. I loved how you talked about, you know, not feeling guilty about taking a break and just the importance of taking breaks, you know, getting ahead of that burnout, some signs that we can look out for, you know, building that burnout battle team. Like, you just shared so many great gems that I think that people can really take and run with and apply to their own lives. So I want to acknowledge you for everything that you've shared here today. And thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure. And I am excited to stay connected.
Me too. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mind Your Body Show. I hope that you learned something new to help you transform your life and your body. For more after the show, make sure to head over to trudyestone.com. That's where you'll find all of the show notes. Also, make sure to head over to iTunes to subscribe and leave us a rating to let us know what you thought about the episode. And remember, get your mind right and your body will follow. Thanks for tuning in.